You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right, like that dude just said. Time now, 2:06 p.m. It is Wednesday. Oh, that means it's Camel Soundtrack Day. Hey, Copper, how you doing running the board there? You doing all right?
Hello, I'm doing well. Happy hump day indeed.
I got excited. It dawned on me we get to play the camel because we can't overplay it because we don't want it to not be special, but it is Wednesday. So if you've got it, just go ahead and play it right now.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
Every time, man.
Every time. Every single time. Every once in a while, there's those things that come along in life that just get you every time, and that's mine. That's one of mine, anyway. All right, well, listen, we got a great show. I forgot to type it for you on the board, Copper. I'll get that up there in just a minute. But the bottom line is we got a lot of stuff. Copper, get that triple dipper sound effect. I will tell you this, folks, at 3 p.m., you're going to also enjoy Copper's Corner. That's right. Once a week, she has the opportunity to not only keep the trains running on time, but we just give her time to go ahead and speak her piece about something that catches her attention, and she's good at it. And so, Copper's Corner at 3 o'clock. But the other topics we got are pretty cool. So, Copper, sound effect, hit it.
The Triple Dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the Triple Dipper. Three stories, three themes, if you will, that you have got to know. Number one, Alabama and Bidenomics. I'm going to be covering down on what's happening with this economy that we're in. Where are we going right now? Is there a plan? And how is this impacting Alabama? So we're going to talk about number one on the Triple Dipper is Alabama and Bidenomics. Number two, I can't wait for this one. I'm calling number two the meat sweats. You heard me, the meat sweats. Any of y'all remember Joey from Friends? He had that one day where he ate the entire turkey, and he said, and now I'm breaking out in the meat sweats. Well, there's a war on meat right now. Not in this house. No, we're going to talk about the meat sweats, number two on the Triple Dipper. And then number three, I'm just calling this, what did they say? And I'm calling it that because as I was getting the show ready, mostly late last night, actually, getting the show ready, I kept going through article after article of politicos in the state of Alabama making statements about current events. And I thought, you know what? It's relevant to see what he said, what she said, what they said. I'm going to do an entire segment called What Did They Say? And so that's what's going to be number three on the Triple Dipper. What did your elected officials have to say about different things? But I got to tell you, the first one, Alabama and Bidenomics, it got me thinking about money. Got me to think about finances and fiscal policy. And I gotta tell you, I have lived a full life, just to be honest, a crazy life, but a full life. I've had more adventures. I mean, maybe one day I'll write a book. But as I was preparing for today's show, and especially working on the segment on economics, I found myself thinking, if they just treat our money like they knew it was our money, you know what I mean? Sometimes it becomes painfully obvious that politicians have totally forgotten they're not dealing with their own money. They're not even dealing with the government's money. They're technically working with our money. If they'd only give the same care, concern, and demand for accountability that they would to their own personal bank accounts with tax dollars, then I guarantee we'd be living in a different fiscal world. Absolutely. Well, I've been in that position. I mean, sure, as a politician working on the appropriations of the state and passing state budgets, at one point, I was the vice chair for the General Fund Budget Committee and later became the chairman of one of the largest committees in the state Senate. It was called the Committee for Fiscal Responsibility and Economic Development. But the place where I really found myself sweating bullets over someone else's money was in Baghdad, believe it or not. So in 2004, I was attached to an infantry battalion in central Baghdad. As part of my duties, I was what's known as the pay agent on numerous rebuilding and governance projects in our area. Basically, in an effort to help rebuild war-damaged infrastructure and facilities, and mostly to help overcome decades of Saddam's neglect and abuse, the international communities were pouring tons of cash into Iraq to help stabilize it and regenerate it. Me personally, I oversaw several million dollars worth of projects just in my area of operations alone. Everything from sewage infrastructure, schools, government buildings, debris, and trash removal, and one of my favorites that I'll tell you about someday, the recovery of a fleet of stolen garbage trucks. Yeah, all that plus combat operations and getting mortared and shot at all the time, but here's the rub. Yes, I had to oversee the payment for these approved projects, and I had to sign personally for every single penny, and if 1 cent was missing, then you know who was on the hook to repay it. Wow. No pressure, mind you. So here's the way it worked for me. I had a safe in my hooch right there on the fob, the base. It was a good-sized safe. I mean, it was big. I kept it covered up with an old camouflage poncho liner, put stuff on top of it, made it look like a makeshift table. Only two people had a key to the safe, myself and the battalion XO. At one point, in that safe, at the foot of my cot, I had over $750,000 in cold hard cash in that dang safe. Right there in my hooch at Patrol Base Volunteer in central Baghdad. And drawing the funds to be a pay agent was an adventure in itself. It was an hour or more to get to Division Main at the finance office. My team would have to suit up, load up our up-armored Humvees. We'd gather up our security detail with an additional four gun trucks, basically the equivalent of a platoon full of Joes, locked and loaded. And I always carried a black bag to put the money in wherever we went. On one of our first such forays, as the convoy security brief was concluding, I told the vehicle commander, I said, you know, if something happens to me, make dang sure someone gets the black bag. So I found out later on the black bag became like kind of infamous. It had a mystique, as the guys in the detail would speculate what I had in it. You know, it was pretty crazy. And man, let me tell you, drawing those funds was a nerve-wracking experience. I'd walk in fresh off the road, sweating bullets in 120-degree heat, fully armed, and I'd look at the guy and say, hey, sir, Major Williams, I'm here to draw funds for the Rasafa District projects. Yes, sir. How much was it this time? Well, I'm approved for $227,000. Okay. At which point, the guy would get up and walk into a vault, and he'd come out carrying bricks. I mean, like actual bricks of cash. I assume you want to count it all. Well, yeah. Okay, these bundles here, these are straight from the U.S. Mint. They are unbroken. They still bear the seal of the Mint intact, and each one of these bricks is certified to contain $10,000. And in my mind, I'm having a fit, but I just said, okay, roger that. Then he shows me one with a broken seal. We should probably count this one. You think? So he dropped a 5-inch thick stack of $100 bills into a counting machine, and it sped through in seconds with a digital readout telling me the amount. I just looked at him and said, yeah, do it again. And he did. And then I asked him, do it again. And then he gave me the forms, and I had to sign for every last dime, personally, under penalty of personal guarantee that I would be compelled to repay any unaccounted for funds. And when we got back to the fob, I'd take that infamous black bag straight to my hooch, called one of my best men on the Motorola radios that we all carried around with us on the base. We all used nickname call signs, and I'd call him, and I'd say, Joker, this is Chappie. It's time. Meet me at the hooch. He knew it. He hated it. Oh, God. Roger, sir. He and I would recount every single bill. We would label the stacks. We would seal them in envelopes. It was like we were handling the nuclear launch codes for SAC-NORAD. Every project got paid, photographed, and double receipted. And I'll be honest with you, to this very day, I still have all the paperwork showing that I cleared finance without losing a penny. And that was 18 years ago. I tell you all that partly for entertainment, but partly because... well, maybe the therapeutic value of talking it out. But my real point, though, and there's always a point, is that I knew it wasn't my money. I also knew I had to fully and completely account for it if it went missing. And I knew there were some serious repercussions if I didn't get it right. Wouldn't it be something if politicians handled our tax dollars the same way? What if they were to have the same sense of dread and responsibility and personal ownership over the expenditure of tax dollars entrusted to them? Wow, that would be a game changer. Can you imagine the Build Back Better debates if that was the case? We, the duly elected officials of whatever town or whatever state or the U.S. nation here, we all agree we don't need to build back anything. We should just get right out of the way and let the private sector to excel at what it does. I'm telling you, they wouldn't. They wouldn't have any hesitation to not spend money if they were on the hook for it. Budget processes would be hyper-focused on accountability and balancing the budgets. Earmarks would become the equivalent of like that black bag that I carried, with designated funds having to be fully accounted for on each project for which they were appropriated. And I know it's a bit of a fantasy. It's government, right? but accountability and a sense of ownership are not too much to ask. We literally entrust our elected officials to appropriate funds that we send them. Is it really too much to ask that they should feel that great burden of responsibility? Well, apparently we believe as a nation that lowly Army majors should be on the hook for each and every red cent they draw in a combat zone. And I can tell you, that's both a burden and truthfully a source of pride. We need some of that in our city halls, in our state house, and certainly need it in the U.S. Capitol. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Yeah, I'm just saying, man. When they had me sign for that, it was like, good Lord. Nonetheless, I did, and by golly, every single penny was accounted for. Wouldn't that be amazing if the same sense of ownership and responsibility was thrust upon our elected officials? If they truly got held to account for every dime they had to appropriate. I guarantee you a few of them are running for office. How about that? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back.